more on higher learning. And Jeff's message will be, as he sends Elise off, remember, you're my daughter. Remember, I'm your dad. And I know that there will be, in this case, there'll be a great deal of security as she goes off to wherever. But it has to start from the ground up to be working the best. And so why that's why he says, I'm your God, remember. Verse 5, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. Three times in a row, I am the Lord. I am your God. I'm your God. As we go through, I'm not going to belabor these, but as we go through these things, this is what was happening in Egypt, and this is what was happening in Canaan, where they were headed. Now, here's the deal. This is why, getting back to the original start where I was talking about Kim and raising the baby and any child for their attitude, is because God's greatest challenge really wasn't getting them out of Egypt, was it? He got them out. Yeah, he sent the frogs and he sent the fire from heaven. He sent the hail and, you know, he split the Red Sea and, you know, he killed all the firstborn of Egypt. I mean, that's nothing to God. And he got them out of Egypt. There goes Charlton Heston walking through with his staff. And that was, what wasn't he able to get out? He wasn't able to get Egypt out of them. Why? They had an attitude problem. Their hearts were still back in Egypt. And every so often it would come out. When things got tough. Instead of going to God or wanting to go to God when things got tough, who did they want to return to and talk to? Pharaoh. Old Mr. Scratch himself. The type of Satan. Let's go back and see if he can deal with this. You know, we used to eat real good there. Now what's all this manna stuff? We used to eat, you know, garlic and leeks, and we had all the bread we wanted and meat. And it was a good life. See, Egypt was still there. They had forgotten what God had done. What God had done in their lives. Well, let's read through here. None of you shall approach, verse 6, any blood relative to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. Every time you see uncovered nakedness, that is, you shall not have sexual relations with these people. So the very first one is, we know that in Egypt and in Canaan, in the land of the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all those ites, they were having relations with close relatives. That's the way it was. And he's sending his children in there. Verse 7. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother, and you are not to uncover her nakedness. So there's your mom. Verse 8, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. That's the stepmom. The nakedness of your sister either, your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. That's sister or stepsister. Verse 10, the nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. That's your granddaughter. Verse 11, the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. That's another stepsister or stepsister from a father. Verse 12 and 13, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. That's aunts, the aunts on both sides. Verse 14, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. That's the wife of an uncle there. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She's your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. That's self-explanatory. Verse 16, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. So that's your brother's wife. Verse 17, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. It is profane. Basically, in verse 17, you're not to have relations, as Damien Cowell says, you're not to go to bed with the mom and her daughter. Okay? That was happening then. Okay. What's he doing here? Is he a prude? Protection. Holiness. Remember what the theme of Leviticus is? A holy God. It's kind of a new concept for us, even as Bible-taught Christians. Sometimes we handle the things of splendor so often, it begins to be mundane. It begins to be not so spectacular. Or if we don't handle the things enough, then we don't see God as holy. We see him like us. God's kind of like me. It's kind of sloppy sometimes, kind of careless. And then we think that the word grace means, don't worry about it. You're saved. After all, Pastor Dave says, once saved, always saved. I don't know what kind of Calvary guy that is, but he says, that's what he says the Bible teaches. So I'm okay. That's not grace. That's stupid. James calls grace and the gospel the royal law. Not Moses' law, the royal law. Did that seem to give you the impression that there's a greater expectation of those that have been delivered by grace? A greater expectation of representation? To let your light so shine that your Father in heaven is glorified? That we're the light of the world? He says, where two or three gather together, I'm there with you. Wow, imagine that. Julian, I, and Bjorn get together to pray. Guess who the fourth person is? Jesus Christ himself. Arms around us, his head bowed as he's interceding with us and for us. Oh, the New Testament Christian is lofty, grand. These people of God had no concept. They'd go to a tabernacle and worship at the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit of God was dwelling in that little cubicle, that 10 by 10 cubicle. The Nehus, the Holy of Holies. Fabric, wood, bronze. Things that were dead. Today, the temple, the Nehus, is sitting in these chairs. The glory of God is in each one of you, if you know him. So, he has a purpose here. Verse 18, you shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival when she is alive to uncover her nakedness. That's a wife's sister. You shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her monthly cycle. You shall not have relations with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Okay, you're not supposed to have adultery, basically. God knows a guy can say, you know what, that woman next door, she's not related to me. I guess it's okay. And I've noticed she's had her eye on me, and, you know, we talk over the fence and while I'm washing the car. And, you know, I don't really get to talk that much to my wife. My wife doesn't understand me, and I like football. This neighbor, you know, Juicy Lucy, she likes football. And we get along pretty good. And after all, you know, Grace, she's a Christian. She's a Christian. Don't judge me. She's a Christian. No, God knows. He says, you're not going to do this with a neighbor either. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. Well, that's the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. Why? Why? Because the marriage is a picture, it's a type of the church bride and Jesus. We're going to see where the priest is commanded, the high priest and the priest that minister in the tabernacle, they're to choose a virgin bride from their people. They're not to choose a woman who had been married before, divorced, etc., etc. Why? Because our high priest, Jesus Christ, who they represent in a type, is pure, and he's taking to him, believe it or not, a virgin bride to himself as the church. And you're like, well, I'm not so pure. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are as pure as the driven snow, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And he can say, enter into the wedding feast of the Lamb, my bride, my pure, my holy, for I've made you that way. There's all reasons here. So he goes on, verse 21, neither shall you give any of your offspring, babies, to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. We'll cover that later. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. What does that mean? Now you notice he doesn't make that as a independent special sin, as we shouldn't either. But he does call it one thing. He calls it sin. Homosexuality is sin. He calls it an abomination. In the Hebrew, that word that God is using when he wants to display to us in human form, vomiting. Okay. It is not just another lifestyle. It is not just a new society section. God calls it sin. God calls it an abomination. God says it makes me want to vomit. He says, you're not to do that. Now, something that's happened within these past 10 years is something called political correctness. It's even infiltrated the churches, where we are very careful. I guess we use euphemisms. A sin is no longer a sin, it's a mistake. Sin in this manner is now, I was born with a tendency to be not a sodomite, gay. Born with a tendency that way. Therefore, I now go to a fellowship that accepts me. Because after all, we don't want to be intolerant. Jesus wasn't intolerant, was he? He wasn't when it came to sin. Who warned you to flee from the damnation to come, you group of slimy snakes? That was incarnate love walking around. Sin is sin. Homosexuality is sin. What's the position of the church to be? It's sin. What about the sinner? I was always inviting this handful of different types of gay guys and girls to the church that I had in Wisconsin. Oh, not to just be politically correct, but to let them know there was an avenue there for them to change their lives. Studies have shown, and I can tell you, and maybe you can attest to this too, they are most miserable people. They are most miserable. Suicide rate through the ceiling. Emotional disturbances, incredible. One old commentator once said to another preacher, don't ever compromise the things that God has said regarding homosexuals. Because the day that you open your door to say, that's okay, you will have robbed these people from the very hope of leaving that life. And this is what you see happening when churches ordain homosexuals, when society and governments and elected officials say it's normal, it's okay. It is the cruelest thing we could do to them in cementing them in that lifestyle that brings nothing and ultimately will bring judgment. None of those gay people ever showed up to church. But I would have given them so much attention to share Jesus Christ, to turn their lives from that way of sin. Because I know that Jesus is the only way for them to be normal. And that's not me talking. That's God. Sin is sin. Verse 23, you shall not have relations with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to have relations with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. So all these nations there, who God didn't even recognize as being under a covenant, he saw what they were doing. And in the Hebrew, it says, you know what? The land that they're on, they're going to be replaced by you, my holy people, and the land itself is vomiting them out. What if our nation today was under the covenant of God as Jews? With all that not only we as a nation have decided to nod to, but to promote, God would have this land vomiting us out of itself. Let's read on. For the land has become defiled. The land was defiled. Therefore I have brought its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations. So what you just read is what was going on in the land of Canaan. And the land has become defiled, that the land may not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nation which has been before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who shall do so shall be cut off from among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge. You do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. Again, I am the Lord your God. Now in chapter 19, he gets into the actual consequences of these actions. Now in Hebrews 13, we saw that God says he will judge fornicators and adulterers in the church. Believers. Well, Pastor Dave, you're not saying that there are fornicators and adulterers in the church of Jesus Christ in our world. Are you saying that? No, I'm not saying that. This is saying it. The Bible's saying it. How will he judge them? I don't know. I know how he judged them under the old covenant. Well, how would that be judged today? What if I hear of a fornicator in our church? A player. Oh, that's a term today, player. Multiple weekend partners. Where are you going? El Torito's happy hour. See if I can find my partner for the weekend. Where are you going? Whatever. TGIF. That's a fornicator. As Raul Reese would say, that's a fornicator, man. In the church? Yes. What if this chubby little pastor finds out that there's a fornicator in here, active, unrepentant, born again, carries a Bible, wears a cross, bumper sticker on the car, has a little pine air freshener in there? Sings, worships, raises his hand. Quote scripture. He's a fornicator. What do I do? Well, let's not be intolerant. Well, first of all, if I have evidence that that's happening, then I have to make sure that I know that it's happening. I will go ask him or her. Are you a fornicator? In the dearest way. If they say yes, and they either imply or tell me straight out, and they do, and they will, I ain't stopping. Nothing wrong. Some of these girls I love, or some of these men I love. What are you going to do about it? You see that door? Go right through that door and don't let it hit you on the way out. And don't ever come back until you want to change the direction of what you're doing. And if you go to another church, I'm going to find out and I'm going to call that pastor. Well, I'll go to Downey where I'll get lost. There's too many people. Oh, I'll find you. Because I don't want Jeff messing with you over there either and defiling his flock. I'm not exaggerating. I will do that. Why? Because of you. It will defile you. It will put a vapor in this room that is a virus of unholiness. And will it infect you? Oh, maybe you won't go into that sin, but it will have an effect of what goes on up here. It'll have an effect on how it absorbs, how this absorbs in you out there. It will defile. Why? Because I'm TBN kind of going crazy here? No, because the Bible says it. It brings defilement into the camp. We're a camp. We're campers. And somebody walks in with that. Up, I went through it. You know, I stepped on a German Shepherd Havana here. Uh-oh, can you tell? Yeah, I can. Go wash your shoe or something, you know, go. Surely we're not going to let them sit around the campfire with that thing on their foot. How many of you have seen Nacho Libre? Where is he? You remember when he... Remember when he was at the altar and he's lighting candles and his robe caught on fire? He said, I smell cookies. Remember that? Just smell something. Now, I am not a sin sniffer. You know that. I'm not a meddler. But if you know of anybody in this body that's involved in that particular sin and you have irreversible proof, you better go to them and tell them as a brother or a sister. You better straighten this up, or I'm going to go tell Pastor Dave. I'm going to tell on you. It's biblical. Now don't go start following anybody home, okay? I'm not talking about that. Without exaggeration, you are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. And we live in and among the Canaanites. I think we've run out of time. And I don't want the kids workers pulling their hair out over there. So read ahead. Chapter 19. See the repercussions for these activities, and we will go over them next week, and hopefully we'll even do the next chapter also.